Children, I have a question for you. I know the answer, but I'm going to ask this question. Have you been looking forward to Christmas? Yes. Maybe for a long time? Yeah, I see head shaking. Yes. We often look forward to something that's coming that's very exciting for a long time. And in the case of Christmas, as you know, it's almost here. Well, it's one thing to wait for weeks or even months for something exciting that is coming. But can you imagine waiting hundreds of years? Of course, no one person would live that long. But at the time Jesus was born, the people of Israel had been waiting hundreds of years for God to fulfill his promise to send them a Savior. The prophet Isaiah had foretold that God would do this. He did this back in the 8th century BC. And that means more than 700 years had passed without the promise being fulfilled. That was a long time. Some people had even given up hope that it would ever be fulfilled. Now, they shouldn't have done that, because when God makes a promise, he keeps his promise. Today, we're going to meet a man who was still believing in God's promises even 700 years after they had been given. His name is Simeon. God even gave Simeon a personal promise, and Simeon believed that too. When God fulfilled his promises, Simeon celebrated by praising God in verses that have become known as Simeon's Song. This is the fourth and the last of Luke's nativity hymns. And as we'll see, Simeon's song, the Nunc Dimittis in its Latin title, reiterates and expands upon themes of the earlier songs. It draws upon ancient prophecies of Isaiah that are coming to fulfillment before Simeon's own eyes. We're going to look at this passage with a simple three-part outline. First of all, we're going to look at Simeon's situation. Secondly, Simeon's song, and then some concluding reflections. Understanding Simeon's song can help prepare us to celebrate the birth of Christ with a greater appreciation of its significance in the fulfillment of God's ancient promises. So we're going to first look at Simeon's situation as we find that described in verses 21 through 27. In order to understand the situation in which Simeon's song appears, we'll look first at this setting and then at Simeon himself, so that we find the setting in verses 21 through 24. Luke portrays Joseph and Mary as faithfully obeying God's law following the birth of Jesus. The law required circumcision of a male child 8 days after birth, and we read about that. Through his circumcision, Jesus was given the sign of the covenant and formally inducted into the covenant community of Israel. That corresponds to what we do with the baptism of covenant children today. It was important that Jesus keep the law throughout his life, and his relationship with the law began all the way back with his circumcision. The Apostle Paul would later reflect upon the significance of this. He wrote to the Galatians, "But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law." Jesus came to bring redemption to those who had failed to keep God's law. His perfect obedience to the law was a necessary part of this work of redemption. Jesus was the perfect Israelite, succeeding where all others had failed. Luke 2, 22 through 24 continues this emphasis on conformity to the law. "Now when the days of her," that is Mary's, "purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. The Mosaic law stated that mothers were ritually unclean for 40 days following the birth of a son. That meant they could not enter the temple or join in the corporate worship of Israel until they engaged in a ritual of purification. And 2 sacrifices were involved, that of a lamb for a burnt offering and that of a pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering. Now, you may have noted that Luke makes no mention of a lamb, but rather of two turtle doves or young pigeon. And this tells us that Joseph and Mary were relatively poor, because the law allowed a bird to be substituted for the lamb by those who could not afford a lamb. These sacrifices were offered at the temple for Mary's purification. And as a side, we simply note once again that this is an indication that Mary was a sinner. This goes against what the Roman Catholic Church teaches, but she needed to make a sin offering as part of her purification. Another aspect of the law was in view here in the presentation of Jesus at the temple. You'll recall that the 10th plague of Egypt involved the death of the firstborn. The firstborn of Israel were spared when their doorposts were marked with the blood of a lamb. That's the event that was annually celebrated ever after as the Passover. At that time, the Lord claimed all firstborn males for himself. They were to be set apart as holy unto him. But rather than draft every firstborn son into priestly service, the Lord claimed all the sons born into the tribe of Levi for that purpose. Firstborn sons from the other tribes had to be redeemed from this service by payment of 5 shekels to the priests. And though Luke doesn't mention the payment involved, this redemption of Jesus, a firstborn son in the tribe of Judah, is what is involved in his presentation at the temple. What we see in these verses again is that Joseph and Mary are acting as faithful Israelites, fulfilling the requirements of the law after the birth of a firstborn son. This is what brings them to Jerusalem, and this is what sets the stage for their meeting of Simeon. So we come secondly here into this to the person of Simeon in verses 25 through 27. We meet him in verse 25. "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him." Simeon is described as a man in Jerusalem. He's not given any title or any official capacity, such as priest. It appears that he is a layman. He is said to be just, which is the same word that was translated as righteous in Luke's earlier description of Zacharias and Elizabeth. Back in chapter 1, verse 6, he wrote, "They were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless." So as a just, a righteous man, Simeon was seeking to live in accord with God's law. Now that doesn't mean that he was sinless, and we know that because one aspect of the law was its provision of sacrifices for sin. So a righteous man is one who would seek to live righteously, obeying the law, and then freely acknowledging his sins, performing the prescribed sacrifices for atonement. Thus, he is also devout, serious in nurturing his relationship with the Lord. And Simeon is said to be waiting for the consolation of Israel. Now, in a previous sermon in this series, I reflected on the sad state of affairs in Israel at this time. There had been 4 centuries of prophetic silence. There was no king upon David's throne. The Romans occupied the land. It seems that many in Israel had given up on the prophetic hope. But Simeon was not among them. He clung to the promises of the prophets that anticipated the Lord bringing comfort to his people through the provision of salvation. He trusted in promises such as that which we find in Isaiah 40, verses 1 through 2. "Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned." Or Isaiah 52, 9. "Break forth into joy. Sing together, you waste places of Jerusalem. For Yahweh has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem." The Lord had promised comfort for Israel, and Simeon believed those promises. Now, he was not alone in this regard. Down in verse 38 in Luke 2, Anna is described as among all those who looked for the redemption in Jerusalem. So Simeon and Anna were among those Israelites waiting with expectant faith for the Lord to bring his promised consolation to Israel. Because they believed God, they had not given up hope. Next, we're told that the Holy Spirit was upon Simeon. And we see the influence of the Holy Spirit in verses 26 and 27. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God. To this one waiting for the consolation of Israel, the Holy Spirit revealed that he would not die until the Lord's promised Messiah would be seen by him. The Spirit led him to the temple at the time Joseph and Mary were there so that he would encounter Jesus. And in some way not described to us, the Holy Spirit revealed to Simeon that this baby was the Messiah. He took Jesus up in his arms. He blessed God with the verses that have come to be known as the Song of Simeon. So having looked at Simeon's situation, we would have turned now to consider Simeon's song. The song is found in verses 29 through 32. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. So what we want to do now is sort of look at this song phrase by phrase. It begins, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. Now, first of all, note that the song is directed to the Lord. As verse 28 informed us, this is Simeon blessing God, praising God. In addressing the Lord, Simeon identifies himself as your servant. Mary had used the feminine form of this noun to describe herself as the maidservant of the Lord. Like Mary, Simeon finds his identity in submission to the Lord God as his master. He sees himself as a servant of the Lord. Now, the first word of the song in the Greek is the word translated now. And this is very significant, for the whole point of the song is that Simeon is living at a turning point in time. Like all the faithful in Israel, he had been waiting for the fulfillment of prophecy. And now, the waiting is over. The time has been fulfilled. The one Israel has been waiting for has come, and Simeon has actually held him in his arms. The Holy Spirit had told Simeon he would not die until he saw the Messiah with his own eyes. And having now seen him, Simeon is ready to die. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. The Lord had promised salvation to his people, and Simeon declares that he has seen the salvation from God in the unlikely guise of a helpless little baby who is just 40 days old. But he sees this baby with the eyes of faith, based on the revelation he has received from the Holy Spirit. And for anyone who has seen Jesus with the eyes of faith, death is not an enemy to be feared. It is what it was for Simeon, a departure in peace. And Simeon now proceeds to speak of the promised salvation as that which you had prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. You see, this baby is not just Simeon's personal savior. Jesus is the salvation God has prepared before the face of all peoples. Simeon understands the arrival of Jesus as the fulfillment of Isaiah 52:10. Yahweh has made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Mary's song had focused on God's provision of salvation for Israel, speaking of promises to Abraham and to his seed. Zacharias' song had done the same with its opening, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people." Even the song of the angels seemed directed primarily to Israel through the representative shepherds, though we do know that the good tidings of great joy were to be for all people. Here in Simeon's song, we have explicit mention of the impact of salvation beyond Israel. Indeed, having praised God for the salvation prepared before the salvation of all peoples, Simeon goes on to speak of the Gentiles even before he speaks of Israel. The salvation that Simeon has seen in the baby Jesus is a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles. And once more, Simeon understands that God is fulfilling ancient prophecy. In the servant song of Isaiah 49, Yahweh declares, "I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth." This was spoken to the suffering servant, that image prophetic of the Messiah to come. You will be a light to the nations. And Simeon specifically speaks of that light bringing revelation to the Gentiles. The oracles of God, the scriptures, and the words of the prophets had been granted only to Israel under the Old Covenant. With regard to special revelation, the Gentiles had always been in darkness. But in Jesus, the situation was changing. In fact, Luke, who records this song of Simeon, will go on in his sequel to his gospel, the book of Acts, to provide a record of the light of the revelation of salvation of Christ going forth into all the world. But this inclusion of the Gentiles does not come at the expense of Israel. Simeon also speaks of the salvation that has come in Jesus as the glory of your people Israel. You see, the prophets had anticipated the special role of Israel in bringing light to the Gentiles. Listen to Isaiah speak such prophecy directly to Israel in Isaiah chapter 60. "Spoken to the nation Israel, arise, for your light has come, and the glory of Yahweh is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But Yahweh will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising." The arrival of Jesus meant glory to Israel in part because it was the glory of Israel that salvation would proceed from her to the Gentiles. As Jesus was born into Israel, marked with a sign of God's covenant with Israel, and perfectly kept the law given to Israel, he was fulfilling all that Israel had been called to do but had failed to achieve. In Jesus, Israel reached her destiny. And so Jesus brought glory to Israel. Her salvation shined forth the revelation of salvation to the whole world. Well, can you begin to get a sense of the significance of that first little word in Simeon's song? It's nun in Greek. It's nunc in Latin. It is now in English. This now was more than just a turning point in Simeon's life, so that he was ready to die because the Lord had fulfilled his wonderful promise to him. It was that Simeon had held his own Savior in his arms. But Simeon's now meant much more than that. It meant a turning point in the history of God's redemption of his people everywhere. It meant the time of fulfillment of prophecy had come. In Jesus, God was providing the consolation of Israel. In Jesus, God was bringing glory to Israel. In Jesus, God was sending a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles. The time of waiting was over. The hopes and dreams of all the years were now being realized through the person of this little baby. As we look back upon the birth of Jesus, we need to understand it as the turning point in history that it was. Our culture formally recognizes this in the division of time between B.C., the years before Christ, and A.D., the years Anno Domini, the years in the year of our Lord. Our calendars implicitly declare Jesus to be Lord, though many people refuse to acknowledge him as such. At this Christmas time, we need to honor Jesus as the Lord of history and the Lord of our lives as well. We can join Simeon in rejoicing that the birth of this baby was the beginning of the fulfillment of the promises of God. And if we have trusted in Jesus to forgive our sins and to grant us peace with God, then we can look to him as our Savior. But we can imitate Simeon in another way as well. For there are promises yet to be fulfilled. That one who was born as a baby and laid in a lowly manger is now risen. He is reigning from heaven, and he has promised to come again in glory to judge both the living and the dead. We still look forward to the final coming of Jesus that will usher in the eternal state of the new heavens and the new earth. As we celebrate past fulfillment of prophecy this Christmas, let us confidently look forward to future fulfillment of prophecy and the eternal hope that is ours in Jesus. We are still called to wait and to hope like Simeon. Let us pray.